You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Welcome once more to the UFC Buzz Podcast for William Hill. I'm Gareth A. Davis. After an amazing night in Liverpool, the inaugural UFC event, of course, in Liverpool, where Darren Till delivered on his promise. He may not have made weight, of course, 3.5 pounds over, but he delivered on his promise and the judges went with him. 49-46 twice, 48-47, unanimous decision over Stephen the Wonderboy Thompson. We all sang Sweet Caroline on his way in, and we all sang deep into the night. It was a Sunday night to remember in Liverpool. Joining me this week, as he did last week, to celebrate a huge weekend of mixed martial arts in the UK, Ireland's finest, the irascible, the unmistakable, the grinning, it's yes, and the very, very laughing. On cue, it's the one and only Pete Carroll. How are you, Peter?
I'm great, man. I'm still catching up on sleep from a crazy few days across England, but great week for UK MMA, you'd have to say, on the whole.
Definitely. Now, look, controversy after the fight in many ways, controversy before the fight. You know, they did a very smart thing at UFC Liverpool when Darren came in. Anthony Joshua now walks into Sweet Caroline, the matchroom shows, and it kind of resonated. It was a very smart PR move. You know, it wasn't I can feel it coming in the air tonight, which he likes to come into. Phil Collins, one of my daughter's favourite songs since she was a little baby, actually. There's something electric, though, isn't there, about that song?
About it, yeah.
There is, but there's no question that the smiles on the faces, the applause, the sense of moment was created by the old Neil Diamond song. Who'd have thought it? Back in the 70s, when we were all cringing at those songs, that Sweet Caroline, and I forgive me all the Carolines out there that cover fight sports and love fight sports and breathe. Any Caroline, please forgive me. Sweet Caroline really did the trick, didn't it?
It did. It absolutely did. I was actually still shooting video in the back, so I was walking out when it came on, and I felt like I was making my way to the octagon to that sound, and it was just tremendous. I thought he was kind of going to do the McGregor thing, where he plays a bit of Sweet Caroline, and then it goes into the air tonight, but it pulled it off with great effect. I really think the atmosphere was incredible, and it really did remind me of that time Conor in the Three Arena, Dublin, July 2014. I think it was really like that, in that it was showing the US audience a new star from Europe. Here he comes. It was like announcing him onto that big stage.
The Diego Brandão fight, yeah?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I do remember that. It was a celebration. It was pictorial. It was iconic. And we look back now and we know that that was the moment when that inexorable rise started, I think, Pete. And obviously you were there for MMA fighting. It was seen as a big event in America. On TV, funnily enough, a lot of your colleagues and different people from different outlets watching it in America. A lot of focus on it, of course. Wonderboy's a real stylist and a famous star in the United States in MMA. A real gentleman. In fact, one of the great gentlemen martial artists in the sport we've ever seen. And I mean ever, period. He was brilliant all week. He took the loss on the judges' cards very well, and I thought he was magnanimous until the moment he got back to America and started giving interviews saying he thought he won it. But very sensible not to say he was robbed in Liverpool, because you never know when they're in the mood for a lynching. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, because there was that mood that Till wouldn't be denied, almost. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. He took it well, especially when you've got the amount of people, as you say, watching this on TV and seeing Thompson as the winner. It was, it was always going to be controversial, I felt, because I was just having discussions with the media guys around me, and nobody was clear about them first four rounds. Like, I mean, there was some rounds where I was edging towards Thompson, there were some rounds where I was edging towards Till, but I couldn't guarantee at any time.
Yeah, because the point being, Pete, it looked like it was a different fight to score on TV than live as well. I had... Listen, I'm not going to argue. I felt in the end 3-2 either way was my view. And I did actually score the first two rounds to Wonderboy. I was very impressed with the dance. Whenever that kind of dance is live, it's so compelling. It was beautiful, wonderful mixed martial arts movement. And I think, as Darren said afterwards, it was Muay Thai versus karate. And what we got was an MMA chess match, you know?
Yeah, I could even see like little tiny battles in their facial expressions.
Yeah.
Even when they're like, I mean, that's how small these moves were, and that's why I do believe it was chess. And I agree with you as well in that it was a very, very, very tense affair in the arena. Like, I mean, I was surprised when I got online afterwards and I could see a lot of people slating the fight. But it was, as you said, completely different to be in that arena and to be watching at home. I still haven't seen the broadcast, but I am looking forward to seeing it. But incredibly, incredibly tense. And I felt like it delivered. I felt like after the result, people embraced Darren like the star of the UFC wanted him to be afterwards. But again, I feel like the reach of that result hasn't quite gone to the US. I think people are still kind of stuck on this is a robbery. Like, not this is a robbery, but this fight should have been for Thompson. When we saw McGregor against Brandao, it was an emphatic, it was a finish. And I think that's what people really needed if they wanted to push Darren forward, like this future title contender, like we think we have in our hands anyway.
Yeah, hey, listen, it was a very close fight, whatever you say. It was very technical. What was impressive about Till was that he was prepared to take Thompson on in his own game. And no one else has been prepared to do that with him. Or they've been knocked out. Look what Tyron Woodley did. What Till showed was a brilliant game plan and great versatility. The only thing that I would love to have seen, and it's very easy for me to say that, sitting with my cigar, with my with my hat on my yacht, saying, yeah, should have done this, that, and the other. I need to get out of my armchair and realise that what he did is he showed us another way he can fight. He's never going to have a more awkward opponent, in my view, at welterweight. It may get more difficult at middleweight if he goes up there, but it was a very, very, I thought it was a performance replete with beautiful movement, facial expressions of a gorilla, trying to work out what the choir boy was going to do next. But what he did do in the fight was give us a different side to a guy we thought was an aggressive stand-up fighter who will take it to the ground and submit you if he has to, but otherwise he'll bulldoze through you. His technical brilliance in that way and his patience were really a joy to behold, I thought.
And this is his first time in championship rounds. You know, a lot of people, especially after the weight cut, were saying, you know, if Till doesn't get this guy out of here in the first two rounds, it's going to be a lot of trouble. He was still bouncing on his front leg there in the very last round, which was pretty crazy for me because I really thought if it went into 4 and 5, Wonderboy would be having his way with him. So, I mean, even if you do have the fight scored for Thompson and you're not happy with the decision, the fact that this kid, this 25-year-old kid from Liverpool, has come out of nowhere in the last year and been managed to do this is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he's finally got the platform. Look, Michael Bisping, good luck in retirement. Thanks for the years, Michael. It's been great covering you. You proved that in mixed martial arts, it's not just about ability, which he had bags of. It's about try and try again, and he came through in the end. A victory over Anderson Silva, a rematch victory over Dan Henderson, a rematch victory over Luke Rockhold. He's fought an amazing array of fighters over time. He's been brilliant to cover. He was the poster boy of MMA. So if you follow in the line, you know, if you see Michael Bisping as the greatest achiever in British mixed martial arts, I think your dog's going crazy behind you, isn't he? I can hear.
He is.
He's feed him or let him out, is what I say. Feed the dog or let the dogs lie or let the dog scream. Who let the dog out, Pete Carroll?
Sorry about that, Gary.
Listen, this is a real life show, remember. It's the UFC Buzz podcast for William Hill. It's real life, it's real odds. Look, the thing is this.
Can I just ask you on the topic of Bisping, like the fact that you, I often say, you know, you're the guy that really set precedent for people like me in Europe. You covered Bisping's career probably more closely than anyone. I mean, how far is someone like Till away from being a replacement for the likes of Michael Bisping, who really held this whole scene up by himself for many years, maybe 8 years before we got the likes of McGregor coming along and stuff like that.
It's a different landscape now. People will travel because of McGregor. When Michael Bisping travelled, not a lot travelled with him. They watched back home. When Dan Hardy went to fight GSP in 2010 or whatever it was, there weren't many travelling, you know? But because of Conor, people want to travel. Because of the way Darren Till and his blue collar, people will follow him like they followed Ricky Hatton. And there's a precedent that Conor has set where people know that the UFC wants a European star. He is one fight away from people wanting to go repeated times to follow him. I think if they put him on in Vegas, you know, I asked Dana White, the president of the UFC, after the event, in the post-fight press conference, where next for Till? He said, Vegas. I said, what, definitely? He said, no question. Or definitely America. Vegas for me. Robbie Lawler, I know you favour Masvidal as an opponent. One of these guys, I'd say it's Robbie Lawler. Give him a guy who is not technically difficult, who suits his style. I think that's what they will do, because he can go back and back and back two or three times to America. 5,000 to 7,000 to 10,000 people will follow him over there. He is there. He is right there. He wins one fight in Vegas. It's successful. He blows someone away, comes home and has a fight and goes back. He is right there on that trail.
The way we're mentioning Lawler and Masvidal, those are two kind of guys who create a certain kind of fight, which would be very different than the Wonderboy fight. Do you think for Darren to go over, people need to see him at his aggressive best, the same guy we saw against Cerrone, the guy that raised his profile so much? Do you think that's probably the best way to do this in the UFC?
Of course, this was the test. This was the difficult fight. This was the fight, even though he didn't make weight, and I'm not a believer in guys being upped in the rankings if they win a fight and they haven't made the weight. And in fact, Darren's virtually said that himself by saying Wonderboy deserves a title shot, not me. I don't think it'll be a title shot next, but don't be surprised if it is. You know, yeah. He's been installed at number two. Look, they gave him a difficult style matchup. He came through it with flying colours. I mean, you can debate one way or the other, but the judges scored it as the judges scored it. He did enough in that fight, you know? And I think I felt we were celebrating on the night the emergence of a new star from Europe who will carry fans over to America, and also is now a headliner every time he fights here. We have seen very few of those, Pete. And I say, really, Bisping, Hardy to a certain extent, Dan Hardy, Conor McGregor, and now Darren Till. There isn't anyone else. There isn't anyone else, and that is the way it is. But, you know, his swearing, his blue-collar stuff, he's got a certain vibe about him that demands, I want to go and interview him. I want to look him. I want to look the gorilla in the eye. I want to look at his facial expressions and do all the little, you know. He does make weird facial expressions while he fights. It's so compelling, but it's focus. So it was a great story to emerge from the very first event in Liverpool. Look, let's move on to this weekend very briefly. Just a few minutes on this. It's one of the smaller cards. But one of your pals, well, not necessarily a pal, but a guy that you've covered, Nathaniel Wood, he's 4-11 down on the undercard against Johnny Eduardo. He's coming, obviously, fighting in the bantamweight division. Tell us a little bit about Nathaniel and why we should watch out for him.
Yeah, well, Nathaniel's a former Cage Warriors bantamweight champion, so he's following a direct lineage of the likes of Bisping and McGregor into this debut. He was actually speaking to me today about Bisping and the fact that he kind of laid that path for all of these prospects to follow from, you know, the regional scene right up to UFC gold. He's pretty adamant that a win here against Johnny Eduardo, who is vastly more experienced than him. I mean, this guy it's his 40th fight in Utica, which is a massive test of experience. So he really thinks a win here against a guy who's vastly more experienced will lead him into that top 15. He has a great style to watch. He's got heavy hands. I mean, his last three fights, his title defenses went viral after his performances. So he has a lot to live up to, and he's got a lot of hype. And of course, he's the protege of another UK legend, Brad Pickett. So, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how he fares, especially after we saw Molly McCann come up short so dramatically in Liverpool, having come from that Cage Warriors title lineage as well.
Absolutely. Look, let's bounce. I'm really looking forward to seeing him fight. And the odds there, of course, Johnny Eduardo, 21-10. Nathaniel Wood, 4-11. Johnny Eduardo, of course, you know, he's 1-2 in his last three, by the way. He's got decent victories. Anyone that's got a victory over Manuel Gamburian, you know, I really rate that guy. I mean, there was a time when he was an absolute wrecking ball. I know he's had wins and losses, but he was always in brilliant fights. And you know, you know, this guy's got a win over the likes of Eddie Wineland, Jeff Curran. So he's no mug, and it'll be great to see this Brit on the card perform. Look, apart from that, let's jump to the lightweight fight, the co-main. There's a bit of heat, as you know, behind this chap, Gregor Gillespie, who's fighting Vince Pichel. Listen, there's a lot of excitement about Gregor. Undefeated in 11, Pete. Very rounded. 5 KOs, 5 submissions, 4 submissions, 2 decision wins. Great collegiate wrestler. No one really on his record at the moment, but he's been in the UFC, you know, just over a year now, and there's a lot of interest in him, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of brings that intensity that we love to see as fight fans into the octagon every time. It feels like he's nearly vibrating, waiting to get his hands on his opponent, which always makes for a really captivating fight. Vince Pichel here has a very similar record to him. He's just been defeated once. I'm sure with the hype that keeps on coming around every time Gregor gets in there, I feel like a win here could push him into the UFC rankings. But when I'm saying that, I'm very aware that the lightweight rankings are probably the hardest division to break into, probably there or welterweight at the moment, just because of the talent that we've seen there. This guy's got really heavy hands. Really, really, like you know, exceptional for that division. Like, I mean, it's kind of one-shot kind of kill power. So, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see him against Pichel, a guy who's only lost once in the UFC.
Absolutely. And also, of course, Gillespie, a local lad. He's from Long Island. And of course, Long Island, and of course, Pichel. So it's East Coast versus West Coast. He's a California guy. Terrific. I think it's going to be a real scrap, this one. And the odds with William Hill here for the UFC Buzz podcast, very interesting. Gregor Gillespie 1-5. As we know, there's a lot of heat behind him. Yeah. And Vince Pichel 7-2. Big favourite, Gillespie, yeah? Doesn't surprise me. I mean, look, I'm going to pick on this one right now. I mean, I haven't seen much of young Nathaniel. I just hope he wins. But with Gregor Gillespie and Vince Pichel, I'm going for a spectacular second-round knockout for Gillespie in this fight.
Yeah, I think you could be right with that. You know, you do see him wearing guys down with his hands. He's quite dynamic. Like he explores the full target rather than just head hunts. It's something I love to see in MMA, and we don't see enough of it, to be honest. So yeah, I really do favour Gregor. I think the odds are, I'm quite blown away that he's that much of a favourite.
Yeah.
But you know, I do favour him greatly coming in there. But I wouldn't mind an old dark horse flutter on Vince there if it's going.
A cheeky 20, nothing wrong, or a cheeky 30 on that one, nothing wrong at all. You know. Moving to the main event, Pete. Jimmy Rivera, Marlon Moraes, two guys who really have it all to fight for in the bantamweight division. Look, we've got the number 4 in Jimmy Rivera against the number 5 in Marlon Moraes. You and I have spoken about these two before. We've kind of said they're both in the title picture, frankly. Of course, TJ Dillashaw, the champion, and ahead of them, Rafael Assunção, veteran now, was always thereabout. Dominic Cruz, is he really going to fight again? We don't know. Cody Garbrandt, of course. So, and Garbrandt and Dillashaw, I'd watch them every weekend, frankly, those two fight each other. Dillashaw, for me, a student, by the way, on The Ultimate Fighter under Michael Bisping. I remember Bisping telling me years ago when Bisping was a coach, watch out for this kid because he is really, really good. Wow. This is a tough fight to call, and it was reflected in the UFC Buzz podcast for William Hill. Odds, 17-20 Jimmy Rivera, 19-20 Marlon Moraes, which just shows you, well, right down the middle. I mean, it's such a difficult one to call. How are you seeing this?
I gotta say, before Moraes came to the UFC, I was really excited about him coming over from WSOF. He looked really unstoppable. But unfortunately, when he came in, he didn't have the kind of big introduction that I felt he had. He had two very close decisions. Asensio beat him by split in the first fight. In a second fight, John Dodson bet him on split. So, I mean, he hasn't had that thundering introduction to the UFC, but of course he did have that massive knee KO of Aljamain Sterling.
Performance of the night in December, that was in Fresno, is a sign of what he can do, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, he was always known for his Thai style, chopping down the legs, really heavy hands. But I do feel that Rivera's more dynamic. Obviously, he has that karate background, but he has fantastic wrestling as well. I feel like a guy that has an extra trick up his sleeve here is the guy that's going to win the fight. And if Rivera can dictate where the fight takes place, more so than Moraes, I think his fight IQ could win him the fight, to be honest. But there's bad blood here, you know?
Yeah.
Moraes has been calling, saying that Rivera hasn't wanted to fight him. He didn't accept fights with him. Of course, Rivera was already waiting to go on his honeymoon before his last fight fell apart. Moraes came in on short notice saying, I'll take you on in 2 weeks. He had to go for his honeymoon. So he's really out to prove a point here that he's not afraid of Marlon Moraes and he wants a shot at that title. He already feels he should be fighting for the title and maybe this is the last result he needs to push him into the fold there.
I agree. I agree with all of that. But what I think about this is, I'm going to pick on that point you made just now about the fact that Jimmy Rivera has more experience. He is probably a bit sneakier in terms of his armory. I think he's got more El Terror. I think he's got more. There's something about him for me. Listen, it's very hard to split them. I mean, there's no splinters on this show. It's a 5-round fight. Now, that because it's the headliner, remember, so the main event. So I've got a feeling Rivera is going to push this fight and make it a very much a kind of a very physical, very tenacious chess match, if you like. And I've got Rivera wearing Moraes down in this fight. And winning by stoppage or points decision after 5. I love his education through Bellator, World Series of Fighting, CFFC, King of the Cage, where he's been bantam. You know, he's been the bantam champion. He's, for me, even though he's only 28, 22 career fights, yeah? One loss, of course. And we talked about this with other people before. Right at the beginning of his career, way back 10 years ago in Ring of Combat against Jason McLean. For me, he's just a very tenacious guy. I think he wins this. And I think Rivera will end up challenging TJ Dillashaw for the title, in my view, this year. I'm going for him by 4th round, wear down, beat down. I think it'll be a TKO because I think Moraes does fight with his heart. Or it's going to be a points decision for Jimmy Rivera.
I agree. I think it's Rivera's fight. People might point to Moraes being a champion in WSOF and having 5-round fights before, but he's only ever gone the distance once. And I mean, he was always fighting 5-rounders, but he always got his opponents out of there quickly. I think his style would have worked a lot better 5 years ago, maybe at bantamweight. And, you know, it's just Rivera again, that the fact that he can do so much. He's maybe not a jack of all trades, a master of none in some respects, but he just has that dynamic approach that will be able to make him get out of trouble. But we know what Moraes is going to do. He's going to come in, try to chop his legs down and land a big shot. He's going to try and get him in the clinch and land some knees. I think the fact that we don't really know what way Rivera is going to go about this is his biggest tool in the fight. So I'm going to go with him. I'm probably going to say decision as well.
And also, I think the level of opponent, I know it was late in his career, but victories over Yuri Alcantara, Uriah Faber, Thomas Almeida, there's two real killers he's decisioned there. And Uriah, of course, this is a kind of
passing of the torch.
Well, it was a 37-year-old Uriah Faber, and it was a passing of the torch, exactly. So I'm going Rivera. It's going to be another great night. I think you said it to me before I started recording, bud. This is a sleeper card. It could well end up being one of the cards of the year. But, you know, we're very privileged. We're very lucky at this time. I know you'll be up late covering it for MMA Fighting, as you always do. Where can we find you on Twitter, Pete?
You can find me at Petesy Carroll, P-E-T-E-S-Y, on Twitter. So make sure you're there. But of course, I have to admit that Gareth is a lot more entertaining. So make sure you follow him too.
Absolute nonsense. But do follow me. It's at, as everyone knows, it's at Gareth A. Davies DT. I want to thank you, Pete, for joining me this week again, recapping UFC Liverpool and looking ahead to UFC Utica. It's great to have MMA UFC events on the East Coast finally, isn't it? It's absolutely brilliant. Pete, as ever, thanks for your time. Check him out. One of the best writers, right in the top 10. He's in my pound for pound rankings anyway. Top 10 in the business. Pete, thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
That was Pete Carroll. I'm Gareth A. Davis. This was the UFC Buzz podcast for William Hill. Enjoy the fights. I'll see you next time.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.